Hi, guys. You know, I never gave Nick the asterisk to my little hobbies of golf and snowboarding. So those are considered PK hobbies, pre-kids. So back when I used to be able to do cool stuff, those were some of the things I liked to do. I want to welcome you guys here today. Thanks, of course, to the team for having me. I hope I've designed something that will be relevant for you guys. As you may have picked up in my bio, I've spent my entire career in marketing, primarily in a B2B corporate capacity, so thinking about how we could connect the different brands I worked for with buyers and decision makers in the market. So I've been a long time customer of LinkedIn, well before I was ever an employee of LinkedIn. So as I think about some of the things that I'm going to share with you guys today, it's sort of a blend of the things that I've learned and evolved over the years in using their solutions to connect with buyers, but also, of course, a little bit about what I know today being inside the walls of the organization. I guess I got a little bit inspired by this idea of Social Media Strategy Summit. I tried to come up with some sort of like creative design of which we were going to like tackle Mount Lead Gen together or something. So don't take my creative too literally here, but I wanted to have some fun. But I also recognize that it's hard. I've been working with sales partners and in B2B marketing capacities for years, and I know that lead generation is always top of mind, but never easy. So my little illustration was not like the super difficult scaling the mountain in the snow with nothing to eat kind of experience, but more so like taking this nice little path on our bikes up the way to the top of this proverbial lead gen mountain. So that's me. That's a little bit about what I'm thinking for today. But before we get started, I want to ask a few questions and teach you guys a few tricks. So first of all, who's a current member of LinkedIn? And of you folks, who has the LinkedIn app on their mobile phone? Wonderful. So I have two of my favorite conference tricks and party tricks for LinkedIn that I'm going to teach you right now. So do me a favor, pull out your phone and launch your LinkedIn mobile app. Now, most speakers ask you to put your phone away. I like you to keep it out, so feel free. There's two tricks that I want to share with you. So if you launch your LinkedIn app, and if you can see in the top right-hand corner of the search bar there, there's a little grid-looking icon. If you click on that, you'll see that you have two options, scan and my code. So if you click on my code, that's your personal QR code for your profile on LinkedIn. And the camera scanner is what you can use to scan other people's codes. So instead of like trying to remember their name or spell it right when you meet them here at the conference today, you can just scan your personal QR code, get connected, and start conversations. My second tip that I want to teach you guys, which is my personal favorite, my wife gets embarrassed at parties. What you can do is if you go to your home screen, you'll see in the bottom left-hand corner, there's a little icon with two people. If you click on those two people, you're going to go to a page with some of your friend requests and people you may know. But in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a little blue circle with a person and a plus sign. If you click that, you can turn what's called Find Nearby on. So if you enable Find Nearby on, you'll be able to see everybody that is near you today in the conference. So you can also start to connect with other people that are here really easily, really efficiently. Of course, do it responsibly, but many of the folks here have a shared interest in social media strategy, so there's a good chance it's a relevant connection. You can do it efficiently, you can do it effectively. LinkedIn does not track your location or anything else related to this. So those are my tricks. I hope you guys enjoy them. Now let's talk about what we're really going to do today. So we have one objective for today, and that's to help you guys figure out how you can close more deals and drive more revenue through LinkedIn. And so I'm curious, now that we know how many members are in the room, how many of you guys are currently running paid media campaigns online? And how many of you guys run paid media on any social media website? Wonderful. And how many of you guys are running paid media on LinkedIn? Awesome. Good, good, good. So it's good to understand where people are at, because as I designed this program, I tried to keep in mind some of the folks that maybe have less awareness of the products and the solutions and the things that they can do on LinkedIn. And of course, bearing in mind many of the experts that I expected to have in the room here. So good to know. When I was initially invited to speak at this particular program, it was brought to my attention that there was feedback from attendees in multiple years that they wanted a session around lead gen on LinkedIn. They were curious as to how they could get better at improving kind of downstream outcomes through their paid media investments on LinkedIn. So I was starting to think, well, if people are asking for this kind of session, what has potentially maybe been prohibiting them from successfully developing lead gen campaigns on LinkedIn previously? And so I started to think about it. I bounced it off of my knowledge of running these kind of programs for years and also brought it to our team internally and asked what kind of questions we get from our clients. And I was able to kind of sum it up into three main problems that people tend to face when they're launching lead gen programs on LinkedIn. You can kind of think of this as if you were a traditional brick and mortar location. So problem number one would be, is nobody even coming to your location, right? Are prospects not even engaging you in the first place? And if that's your particular challenge, there's probably a set of strategies that you can put in place. Perhaps they do see your storefront, and maybe they're coming in, but they're leaving as quickly as they're coming through the doors, which is maybe a different set of challenges that you're facing around how you're engaging them relevantly. Or maybe they see your sign, they come in your store, but you're getting a flood of the wrong people that actually aren't buying anything. And those are kind of three distinct challenges that we see brands face that all play a role in their effectiveness in driving leads and, of course, revenue through the platform. So they generally boil down to failing to own your brand, kind of an upper funnel issue, engaging in the wrong way, like not finding the ways to connect with customers that's appropriate, or sometimes they're targeting the wrong people or just prioritizing volume and quantity over quality. Couple quick things. Failing to own your brand can be a challenge, especially for smaller organizations and especially for challenger brands, right? That maybe have a little bit less awareness in the market. And so customers may not even understand what you can do for them, what your solution is, why it's different than other alternatives available in the market. And so for those of you that are thinking about this particular challenge, I encourage you to ask yourself the following questions. Do I have an authentic story? Like, can people connect to what I'm doing? Do they understand what it is that I can provide for them? Am I delivering consistency? So anytime you're trying to build brand awareness, your ability to kind of reinforce very similar and consistent messages is sort of a faster path to connectivity than a fragmented media strategy. And finally, is my content relevant? Like, am I taking into consideration the needs that my potential customers have and bringing that forth in relevant ways through my media strategy. Some people, as they solve these kind of brand challenges, find themselves engaging in the wrong way. So I've definitely done this poorly. I'm sure some of you guys have as well, where you have customers that understand kind of what you could do, but your way in engaging them is sort of off. So maybe you're asking for too much information, or you're not really providing any value, or you're like asking them to fill out a lead gen form before you've provided any information whatsoever, or you're asking them for a completely unreasonable amount of information at a certain stage of their interaction with you. And these are all the reasons why customers might be kind of shying away from you and not turning into leads. We all look at our personal data as some sort of currency, right? So in order for us to give that up on the internet, like, we're looking for value, we're looking for it to be appropriate, necessary, et cetera. And so your ability to take these into consideration, another important way, I think, to make sure that you're optimizing your programs. The final problem is prioritizing lead quantity. So often we see misalignment with sales, and we get attached to these vanity metrics of the volume of people that we can reach on LinkedIn or any other social platform. And we invest a bunch of money in connecting with those audiences, and we generate a bunch of leads that turn out to be a big fat waste of time for our organization and a sunk cost within our marketing team. And so the ability to prioritize lead quality is very, very important, especially for any of you sort of ABM marketers out there that are working hand in hand with your sales organization. Work with them to understand the accounts, the individuals, the characteristics of leads that are of highest quality. And when you do so, they're gonna turn those into better opportunities. So I'm a B2B marketer, I hope and presume many of you guys are as well. And the challenge with being a B2B marketer is you're contingent on your sales organization generally to sort of consummate a sale. So the, the return on your marketing investment is only as good as your sales team's ability to turn it into revenue. And so aligning with them on the front end, we've seen time and time again, actually increases sales win rates because they feel a part of the marketing process. They're sort of vested in making sure that they take the handoff and turn it into a deal. And you can get them focused more on what are the right attributes related to leads as opposed to making them enamored with the volume that you can push through the door that may not be doing any of you guys any sort of service. So those are the three like general challenges that seem to cause fallout throughout the marketing funnel. And they all add up to missed opportunity. And our goal, of course, is to maximize our marketing dollars online and make sure that we're getting the most opportunity we can for those. So the balance of my presentation is essentially organized around these three solutions. Like, how can we build a stronger brand? How can we engage customers in the right way on LinkedIn? And of course, how can we target the right audiences and prioritize quality over quantity? So I'm going to talk brand ownership just for a second. I don't want to go too deep, but many people tend to think of lead generation as like a mid to bottom of the funnel activity. But the reality is that if customers don't know who you are or what you do, then it's very hard to turn them into leads. And so I definitely think of the winning lead gen strategy as one that is, of course, a full funnel sort of approach. There's usually a few things that we see with customers that cause them to struggle with brand awareness. Typically, it's because they're unknown, their message is unclear, or at the moments that matter, their customers just don't remember them. A few tips for trying to shore up those brand challenges. When your brand is relatively unknown, maybe you're a startup, maybe you're a challenger brand, maybe you're entering a new market, maybe you've launched a new product, I think consistency is king. That's what we've seen, and that's the punchline here. Focus your efforts on a limited amount of campaigns and messages so that you can really start to resonate with these customers over time, and you may have the opportunity to land and expand thereon. So consistency reigns key when you face this brand challenge if people don't really know who I am. When your brand is unclear, there's a different set of strategies that you can leverage with paid media, and it typically requires you to educate a little bit more than just sell. So if you have a really complex solution that people don't understand, or your messaging is muddy in a way that's not digestible for buyers, then of course it's really difficult to turn them into leads and revenue. We are all keen on getting to solution quickly. Like, we want to tell the world how cool our stuff is, but we have to remember in this kind of stage that our ability to invest in education first can make for a much more optimized campaign and return on investment. I think of the Black & Decker example as the best case in here. It's like the flip switched for them when they realized they were selling holes, not drills. So they used to market the fact that they had the best features and functions, the longest battery life, like infinite number of bits and bytes that they could add onto their drills. But it wasn't until they figured out that customers were looking for holes of all different shapes and sizes that they could actually like accelerate demand through their marketing activities. So I try and equate that in any of my paid media programs and make sure I understand what the customers are trying to accomplish, that I'm educating them in a way that like is relevant and meaningful, and then I nestle my solutions in their problems, not my features in front of their face. So consider that. The last piece on brand is being unmemorable. So there's typically a much longer sales cycle in B2B, but depending on your business, you can experience that in many cases. And so your ability to be top of mind at the moment that matters, like when they're ready to buy or when an RFP is coming out or whenever that consummation may happen, is of course critical to be able to convert those leads into customers. And so when you have kind of a memorability issue, I highly recommend trying to carve out a niche. Even though you might have a whole suite of solutions, like what are the one or two things that can be the anchors of your paid media campaigns? What do you want to be known as the go-to provider for? And how can you establish credibility in those one or two areas, whether it's through different proof points, case studies, customer testimonials, or whatever? And then you can sort of do this blend of brand and acquisition kind of ad. So you can use the branding to do a little bit more of like the educating or help them be aware of your solution. And of course, you can use more acquisition focused ads to help focus on maybe like that specific niche. And what we've seen is that the organizations that are able to kind of balance this brand and acquisition paid media strategy the best see significantly more impact in the leads that they're going to generate. The last slide that I'm going to touch on when it comes to creating strong brand ownership is one around trust. So we have all heard in the news the challenge with trust in social media. And one of the things that we're incredibly proud of at LinkedIn is that you don't hear our name in the news very often. And we work really, really, really hard to keep it that way. And so when you're thinking about trying to build trust and credibility with buyers, especially let's say if you're in highly regulated industries like in financial services or maybe in healthcare or in other organizations, like you want to make sure that you're getting your media through in safe spaces, like in areas where your boss would not be embarrassed to see your ad sitting next to. So for me, I've always leveraged LinkedIn to use it as a place of credibility to make sure that I'm building trust. And whether it's LinkedIn or any other social media platform, you need to be really diligent about where your ads are running because it's not a good look when it turns up next to something that your boss wouldn't appreciate seeing. So assuming you can kind of nail the brand ownership piece and you at least have, let's say, the proverbial top of the funnel somewhat tightened up, now you have to think about, like, how do I actually engage customers in the right way? Now, being a modern-day marketer is sort of a blessing and a curse. If you think about decades ago, it was actually a little bit easier. It was like, hey guys, should we run like a print ad or a radio ad or should we take out a billboard? And we would use one piece of creative and like generally a message that would flight in market for some period of time and we would see how it does. Well, today with digital media and with social media marketing in particular, we have all these different types of ad units and formats and ways to connect with customers. Sometimes it can be sort of dizzying. So you have a new requirement now to actually map out, like, what are the formats that I'm using and what objectives am I trying to achieve with those formats? So this applies to any paid media advertising, any social media platform, but for LinkedIn in particular, this example shows how one might map different objectives that they have for their paid media campaigns to different formats or media solutions that we have on platform. And many of these solutions run across the full funnel, but it's more so for you to be deliberate about how you're using that particular ad medium and what your goal is for it, which will impact the type of KPIs that you use to report out on performance and share with others. So I highly recommend you sort of map out all the different formats you're investing in relative to your objectives and make sure that they're in line with your goals and your budget, et cetera. So I wanted to touch on just a few of the ad units that I've found most effective on LinkedIn. And again, this stems more from being a customer in many years and trying to find very hard to find decision makers on the internet. I will tell you that sponsored content has been sort of the hero of many of my paid investments for years, but it's an especially good tactic on LinkedIn because you have to understand the mindset of people on LinkedIn. Like, they're coming with a somewhat professional mindset. They're looking to learn something, connect with their peers, hear from their peers. So your ability to nestle value into the feed as opposed to maybe interrupt the feed with ads can generally be a little bit more effective. And content engagement on the LinkedIn platform is as high as it's ever been, and it continues to hit record levels every single day. So the opportunity to insert a brand message with more of a content strategy, I would say, is one that I would highly, highly recommend. And of course, you could couple this with some of the more traditional ad placements, but I wanted to talk a little bit about how you can use sponsored content to your advantage. One of the newer formats, of course, is video, and we'll be coming out with live video. Actually, some of it is out today, which is incredible, or this year, which is incredibly exciting. But video has outperformed any other medium, like creative, that I've ever used. It's a little bit difficult when you think about the investment to actually create compelling video, but you know, there's ways to be really kind of smart and savvy and scrappy about how you develop video depending on like your budgets. But if you're looking to really maximize engagement, maximize lead quality, and of course like downstream impact, I highly recommend that you consider video for many of the clients that I'm fortunate to be able to work with or see. Like, this has been a complete home run for them. Another really neat thing that has been effective is carousel ads. So I run these on both Facebook and LinkedIn. But when we think about that upper funnel kind of brand challenges that I was mentioning, your ability to tell a little bit more of an authentic story through a sort of carousel experience can sometimes be incredibly effective. So thinking about how you develop these sort of stories within these ad units and how your potential buyers can sort of swipe through them and tell a story in a way that gets them excited about what you're doing is something that I certainly encourage. And then you want to tie these to lead gen forms. So this is like one of those tactical things that sometimes fall down in paid media campaigns that I see on LinkedIn is make sure that you're tying a form off with them if you want to improve your conversion rates and you want to make sure that you're able to measure ROI. I would say these work incredibly well in content orientations like a webcast or a live event sign up for something like this where you're able to like consummate that next action right there in platform, on phone, whatever. So make sure you're tying off your lead gen forms with any of your paid media campaigns. And then depending on your sophistication, you can integrate with this CRM. You can download it directly from LinkedIn, review with your sales team to make sure that we're touching and talking to the right people, and leverage your marketing automation system to carry that conversation in a relevant way forward. When it comes to sponsored content, there's a few things that we see work incredibly well. Of course, get visual, eye-catching imagery, making sure that your message is not overly dense for people, making sure that you keep it short and sweet. I mean, we all know what the attention span of the normal buyer looks like today. So shorter updates tend to work tied with images that focus on what the benefit would be if they took an action on that. And of course, snackable stats are always nice because they're eye-catching, they're shareable, and all of these together can make for effective either sponsored content programs or effective strategies for any of your paid media units on LinkedIn or otherwise. The other strategy that I'd like to recommend is dynamic ads. So I think people sometimes often underuse this feature in LinkedIn. You can essentially customize the ad units with the data that we already have on LinkedIn. And the magic of LinkedIn is all of the data that we have connecting the 610 million members that we have around the world and all of their skills and schools and preferences and groups. So you can pull that dynamic data directly into your ad units without having to put together a really fancy ad stack to do the dynamic personalization that your CEO hears about and wants you to be doing. So this is one of those simpler ways that allows you to pull in things, let's say, from their profile, from their organization, from their school or whatever, to personalize the creative. It's also easier for those that don't have deep creative resources. So you can kind of create like modular units and then flow in some of these dynamic content pieces. And then, of course, programmatic display. So this is an area where you tend to have a little bit more real estate. You can target certain decision makers or influencers. You can use dynamic ads to, of course, drive engagement, but spark action. And you're generally going to see a larger kind of share of screen, particularly in mobile. So the piece I want to get to as we're kind of reaching the finish line here is this quality over quantity idea. What I want to make sure that you guys do is find the right audiences on LinkedIn. And what I think that we have that many other social networks don't that's going to be of benefit to you is a context amongst our members that sparks better buying decisions. Like, this is a professional audience. They're generally there to listen, learn, connect. They have an aspirational mindset, so you have a greater ability to capture their attention if you have the right ad creative. And they're generally influenced by the information in the networks that they're connected to because that's one of their primary intentions of kind of being on LinkedIn. So I like to say that the difference between LinkedIn and other social networks is like I go on Facebook to spend time. I go on LinkedIn to invest time. And so the mindset that people are in when they're in that environment, I think, gives you a leg up, certainly in a B2B marketing capacity, but there are other benefits as well. So if you think about the mindset and then you think about the actual targeting capabilities, with the reach and scale of LinkedIn today being over 600 million members strong and growing quickly, you have the ability to reach decision makers, influence C-level execs around the world at a touch of a button in a professional context. And you have the most up-to-date and accurate data that those folks have reported, which is the golden goose here. Like, I've bought email lists. Like, I've leveraged my CRM data that is shitty. I've done everything I could do to understand my customers and connect with them. But there's always a latency issue with that information. And so your ability to tap into real-time data about folks, what jobs they're in, what roles they're in, what problems they're trying to solve, I think is a unique differentiator. These are the current facets that you can think about today as you're slicing and dicing different audiences on LinkedIn. And I would ask you to be really diligent about this. You know, a one-size-fits-all approach has not worked since, like, the late 90s. You have all this data at your fingertips, and so think about the different combinations you can use given your different business objectives. I tend to focus squarely on experience. What are the functions, titles, and seniorities that I need of my buyers to drive action? Especially if you're in more of an account-based marketing model, this allows you to align directly to the organizations your sales team are going after, directly against the buyers and influencers within those organizations, and create a tailored strategy for them. But of course, you know, you have creative liberty to think about leveraging all this data to inform your campaigns. And there's a really neat ebook we published not too long ago called Unleashing LinkedIn's Targeting Capabilities. So if you need one of those like how-to guides on like how I could actually put this in practice, go check that out, and there's tons of other content that can guide you through this. Some newer targeting and maybe slightly more complex opportunities that I recommend to make sure that you're getting to the right people. Lookalike targeting is one of the best paid media strategies that I've been able to leverage on and off LinkedIn. So you can basically take the profiles of the best fit customers and model them against behavior on the internet. You can also do more interest-based targeting, so that's the value of having that kind of real-time data on LinkedIn. So like, what do we know about those personas of our buyers, or what are the interests of the folks that hold the purse strings that we're trying to get into? And you can create ad campaigns that kind of get down to that level. This is my favorite kind of targeting piece. So I am on our customer marketing team at LinkedIn. 90% of our revenue comes from existing customers because of the maturity of the market that I sort of work in. So my ability to match existing audiences on LinkedIn and other platforms to be able to serve them relevant messages is the key to me, because I'm not looking to generate a lot of new leads. I'm looking to generate leads that are within accounts that I'm already kind of working within. So you can do website retargeting into LinkedIn, which is awesome. You can do contact targeting, so importing your lists of people that you are going after, and you can do account targeting. With the website retargeting, the things that I like to do is, of course, exclude your converters from previous campaigns. Make sure that if they hit that landing page that says thank you, that they never get something else. You can retarget your landing page visitors, so it's like they got to the next best action but didn't turn into that lead. Maybe you can give them one more try, or you can do a sort of next best offer kind of strategy with website retargeting that all ties into your LinkedIn paid advertising. Account targeting allows you to align with sales on those high priority accounts. The thing in B2B for me is there's generally a buying committee, a number of people that play an influence in making a decision. So I like to map out the whole committee within, let's say, my top 100 accounts and then be able to target them specifically on LinkedIn. And I always want to exclude my competitors. I don't like them to see what I'm doing. This is probably one of the easiest and tactical ways that you can do straight imports from your existing email lists or marketing automation lists, and just make sure you're savvy about your exclusions. Don't put your existing customers in there. You don't need to waste money on selling them stuff. And make sure that you are integrated in a way that you can see the different experiences they're having, whether it's through your nurture campaigns in email or your paid media strategies on LinkedIn. So here's the punchline. Everybody talks about lead generation as this amazing revenue generating machine, and that's what we want it to be. But the reality is, when it's not done right, it can end up costing you a lot of money. So what I like to try and do is give people advice on how they can spend less money, get more impact, and create those outcomes that they want to create. So consider the couple things that I shared as some of the inputs for building your lead generation strategy on LinkedIn. And remember, it is difficult. Like, it's complicated. But if it's difficult for you, that means it's difficult for your competitors. So I think your ability to embrace the difficult and try some of these more complex and challenging opportunities to make your media more relevant and work for you is sort of your ability to create that differentiated advantage and beat your competition to these customers. So challenge yourself, challenge your teams, think about how you can be getting smarter and better at this every day. Of course, use LinkedIn, and I appreciate you guys having me. I have maybe a few minutes for questions if any of you all have them, and enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you.
Okay, we have time for just a few questions. All right.
Thanks a lot. I'm curious if you could talk about just how the company views kind of organic strategies in that ecosystem, and also just like kind of what's happening to our LinkedIn inbox with constant people adding us and pitching us right away.
Yeah. So it's wonderful sort of being like a member and an employee, because it's like how often, I know how often I get hit up in my inbox, for example, but I'm also leveraging these strategies. So, you know, the general advice is to have a tight organic strategy, like make sure your company page is reflective of the key unique attributes of your organization. Make sure that you're posting and engaging with audiences on a regular basis through organic means, because that's only going to drive up your reach. But then consider like paid media solutions as the opportunity to bolster up some of the key messages that you want to tell, and maybe take a more direct response approach than like your organic content sharing and sort of posts would yield. The in-mail equation is very interesting. So I can tell you as an organization, we are very diligent about locking people out of sending in-mail. So we have algorithms and machine learning that are basically monitoring engagement rates from in-mail sends of our customers. And as they reach below certain ratios of sends to opens and responses, we will shut them down. And that's literally LinkedIn turning away money on behalf of our members, because our number one value as an organization is being a members first or company. So just like any medium, whether you're at a conference, like whether it's cold calling or email, like you have aggressive salespeople and they're gonna hit you up. We'd like to think that people will be responsible with that. But as an organization, which was kind of your question, philosophically, we are thinking every single day about how we can create more relevant connections and how we can make sure that the time spent on our platform is meaningful. And at times it may not be perfect, but there are some people out there that abuse the solutions that we have, and we do everything in our power to shut that down.
Any other questions for Brad? Once? Twice? Thank you.
Thanks, guys.